It seems to me that we have lost our ability, our understanding, our desire, maybe is a good word, to honor. Honor seems to be a lost virtue. And we're in this series on the patient acquisition of virtue. And we want to talk about honor here this morning. Because it seems to me that we live in a day and age of perpetual criticism, of complaining. We're quick to judge. We're quick to point out the things that we don't agree with, that we don't find acceptable. And then we cancel people, our cancel culture. And it's not just politicians or athletes or celebrities that we cancel. So many of us cancel people in our personal lives. At a relational level, we have a teacher or a professor that says something, and we just say, oh, I can't, I just can't. I don't know what you can't, but you just can't. I can't, that's it, I'm done with that. I can't sit in that class anymore. I can't be there. Some coworker posts something on the internet, and you deem it inappropriate, and you say, therefore, I can't relate to you anymore. I can't work with you anymore. I have to change departments. I have to quit my job. I have to take a 17-month mental health vacation from you because you posted that thing. I'm not making fun of mental health. I'm making fun of the fact that we react to things. We get to the point where someone... I mean, it could be a misunderstanding or just a misstatement, and someone makes some passing comment, a friend, someone you may have known for years, and they make a passing comment, and that's it. You just break off the relationship. I've seen it with family members in the last number of election cycles that we've gone through. I can't believe you would vote for that candidate. I'm not coming to Thanksgiving. I can't be with you at Christmas. I don't even want to spend time with you. Because you voted for him, you voted for her, you voted for that party, you voted for this party. It doesn't matter what party it is. We just live in this divisive, we want to find something to complain about constantly. I know adult children, parents have raised them, did the best they knew how. Now they're raising their own children. And that same parent who did the best they knew how to raise you makes a comment. They're not saying you're a bad parent, you're an ignorant parent, you shouldn't have kids. All they say is, hey, I'm not sure if that's the best approach. And that's it. You'll never see your grandkids again. I know people, it's been decades. You're gonna criticize how I parent? No. I just said this might be a different thought. And that's it. They cut people off. Over every little inconceivable thing, constantly. And it's people that you could sometimes have known for years. You have deep relationship with. I know people that will leave churches, not this church, and I'm so thankful for that, but other churches, because the pastor didn't respond fast enough to a text that was sent. Or the pastor preached from the wrong translation of the Bible. Whatever that means, I don't know, because every translation is a translation. But the wrong translation. Because the pastor made this sentence, this one sentence in this one sermon that I didn't quite agree with, and the pastor simply misspoke. I know you never misspeak, but the pastor, by accident, happened to say the wrong word, and you're like, he's not even, he doesn't know the Bible. He doesn't even love Jesus. And off they go. Over ridiculous things. I know people who will end friendships because they say, hey, I like your car. Where'd you get it? Oh, I bought it at that such and such a dealership. You did what? Yeah, I bought it there. You know I used to work there, and they fired me, and they did me wrong. You know what? If you're going to shop there, I'm done with you. Really? Yep, that's it. Don't ever call me again. Don't ask for a favor. I can't believe you would do that. I know people who won't talk to someone because they ate at a specific restaurant. You know, I went to that restaurant, the owner mistreated me, the food was bad, the manager didn't count my meal, the service was terrible, and I brought it up to them, and they yelled at me, and they belittled me, and they made me feel stupid and ignorant, and so I'll never eat there again. Well, I love that restaurant. I'm going there tomorrow. You go there tomorrow, don't ever talk to me. I mean, listen, it's a restaurant. I mean, there are people who won't talk to each other because they get their coffee at Dunkin'. Now, that's a valid reality. Drinking Dunkin' Donuts. You know, the donuts are good, but the coffee is weak. It's weak. No, the reality is, if you want to find something to complain about, if you want to find something to be offended about, if you want something to be critical about, if you keep looking, you'll find it. It's easy. But God wants us to live different. He wants us to orient our lives in a different way. He wants us to choose honor. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Choose honor. Always choose honor. Always choose. I will choose honor. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So somebody say, I will choose honor. Thank you for those who said it, and thank you for those who didn't. Because I'm assuming those who didn't say, I don't want to lie in church. And so you didn't say it because you don't want to honor people. And so I appreciate your honesty, and I hope by the end of this, you'll choose honor. But here's the reality. God wants us to choose honor. Here's what it says in the book of Romans. It says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Listen, it would be hard enough if it said honor one another, period. That would be hard enough because we don't naturally want to honor others. But it doesn't just say honor one another. It says honor them above yourself. In your marriage, with your children, to your parents, to your boss, to your employees, with your coworkers and your classmates, with your teammates, to the people that you're standing in the grocery store line with, and they jumped in front of me, and how could they do that? Don't they know I was been standing? Honor them above yourself. See, that's where the rub is. So what I want to talk about today is the reality that you can either choose to emphasize honor or accentuate offense. You can either choose to, remember when you were in school, or and you're taking notes and you got your highlighter, you can either highlight honor or you can underline and circle offense. And you have to make that decision. Am I going to choose honor over offense? Am I going to choose honor over offense? Will I choose to emphasize honor or will I choose to accentuate offense? So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at a story from the life of Jesus that kind of shines a light on the difference between being offended and honoring someone. So let me give you a little background on what's happening in Jesus' life in case you're not familiar with it. So we're going to read a story from the Gospel of Mark, one of the biographies of Jesus' life. We're going to read in chapter 6. But shortly before this, Jesus has done some amazing miracles. One of them is there's a guy who's been oppressed and possessed by demonic activity, evil energy, and Jesus comes in and delivers him, sets the man free, and people are astonished. And then he's walking one time and someone comes and says, my daughter's sick and we're afraid she's going to die. Will you come and do something? We know you're the miracle worker. If anyone could do anything, it would be you. And Jesus says, yeah, I'm going to come. And on his way, he gets interrupted. And this woman who's had a blood disorder for 12 years reaches out and touches him and healing flows. So you got people that are being set free and delivered, people that are being healed, but then they say, hey, don't bother coming, Jesus. The girl is dead. And Jesus says, I know you think she's dead, and she is dead, but she's not really dead because I'm the resurrection and the life. And because I have resurrection life, I can bring her back to life. So bring me to her. And they're like, we don't understand what you're saying, but fine. If you want to come and see the girl, you could see the girl. And Jesus goes to this girl and she is dead, but because he is life, he brings her back to life. And so he's done these amazing miracles. And then he says, I want to go back to my hometown. Now I know Christmas is coming and sometimes we think Jesus' hometown means Bethlehem, but that's where he was born. It's not where he was raised. His hometown is this town, this village called Nazareth. And so Jesus travels back to Nazareth, and the stories about him, the reports about him, some of them are true, some of them are not, some of them are rumors, because you know how stories go, but it's spreading like wildfire. And even in Jesus' hometown, they've heard some of this stuff. And so he shows up in Nazareth, and it's the Sabbath, so he goes to the synagogue, and that's where we're going to pick up the story in Mark chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you could turn there. But either way, if you have your Bibles or not, I'm going to ask if you'd stand in honoring God's word as I read this morning. Mark 6, starting in chapter 2. When the Sabbath had come, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? I mean, they're hearing all this stuff and they're hearing what he's teaching and they're hearing these reports and they say, but isn't he the carpenter? He grew up here. He makes wooden stuff. He works with stone. He's a mason. Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon? Aren't these his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, in his own home. And he could not do any miracles there. And then it goes on to say, except to lay hands on a few people and heal them, and that he was shocked. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. And God, I'm asking that you would open our hearts to receive from you. We understand that the natural man can't understand spiritual things at a natural level. We have to receive it at a spiritual level, or we'll be confused. So God, I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes, open our spiritual ears, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Speak to us now, spirit to spirit, deep to deep, so that we would learn to be a people that choose honor over offense, that we would leave here saying, I want to be the kind of person that emphasizes honor as opposed to accentuating offense. God, change us and we'll be changed. In the wonderful name of Jesus, the strong Son of God, I pray. Amen, amen. You can be seated. So here's this people. Jesus is like, listen, a prophet, a man of God, someone who's moving in the spirit. People honor him everywhere he goes. But when he's around people that know him, that he's just a boy that grew up next door. He's got calluses on his hands. We saw him. We watched him grow up. There's nothing special about him. See, what dishonor is to treat as common, as ordinary, to say there's nothing really valuable in this person. There's nothing to be highly esteemed. There's nothing weighty about them. There's nothing that I say I'm impressed about this person, that I see something important in them. I just kind of, whatever, you know, you're not going to really amount to anything. It tears down and it belittles. Whereas honor builds up. Honor says there is something in you. There's something about you. God has placed something in you that is of tremendous worth. And I don't want to miss that. I don't want to overlook that. I want to highly esteem that. I want to emphasize that. Because you have great value. I will not tear you down. Instead, I will build you up. And so Jesus says, listen, there's this, you know, this reality. I'm here among my people. And they just can't see past what they think about me. And so they're dishonoring me. And because they're dishonoring me, I'm not going to be able to move in very powerful, supernatural ways in their midst. So what we have to understand is that honor is so important, because honor builds up while dishonor tears down. Honor builds up while dishonor tears down. Maybe you've seen this or experienced it in your own life, but have you ever watched as two people begin to date? I mean, they just love each other. Everything about them. They compliment each other. She is the most beautiful person. I love the sound of her voice. I can't wait to see him at the end of the day. He's brilliant. I love her opinion is always spot on. You defer to them. You want to go see that movie? Yeah, I want to see that new rom-com. Oh, baby, those are my favorite. And then he says, I want to go watch that new action adventure, man. I want to see people getting blown up. Oh, yeah, let's do it. That's great. Whatever restaurant you want to go to, you open the door for them. You pay the bill. You're bragging on them to everybody. You know, I just can't wait till you meet her. Man, when you get to know him, you're going to be blown away. Hey, it's just this constant honoring of the other person. But what can happen is that as the relationship progresses and as time goes by, and if it ends, I guess is the right word. I don't mean in a fatalistic way. But if it results in marriage, what will often happen is all of a sudden that person doesn't seem so extraordinary. The person doesn't seem so valuable. We kind of just start seeing them as common. We take them for granted. We begin to dishonor them. Instead of saying, I can't wait to see them, we say, I hope they don't come home. Instead of saying, I love the sound of their voice, we say, that voice is the most irritating sound on earth. Instead of saying, I want to open the door for them, we're slamming the doors. Instead of saying, their opinion is always wonderful, we start belittling them. What a stupid thing that they would think that. That doesn't make any sense. What kind of idiot is it? Well, you married the person. If they're an idiot, what does that make you? But you know, we just tear down, we belittle. We don't lift them up. We don't value them anymore. We begin to ridicule and mock. We become more excited about our hobbies than our husbands. We become more invested in our work than in our wives. And it's because we've stopped honoring them. We don't see them as valuable. We don't see them as precious. We don't appreciate who they are and what they do, because we've started to look at them as just common and ordinary. We take them for granted. I'm telling you, this isn't a message on marriage, but this will help your marriage. If you want a marriage that's God honoring, if you want a marriage that God will honor, then honor your husband, honor your wife. Honor them all the time in everything, in big ways and small ways. Honor them. If you want a common marriage, an ordinary marriage, a marriage that looks like every other marriage around, that somehow maybe you'll stay together. You don't really like each other, but we're staying together because of the kids, because what else are we going to do? And then we're older and, well, it's too expensive to get divorced now, so we'll stay together, but we really don't like each other. But we're in this for life. We're committed. You should be committed. You know, you want that kind of marriage? Dishonor everyone. Dishonor your spouse. Treat them as common. Treat them as ordinary. Start complaining about them to everybody instead of talking good about them. And you'll have that kind of marriage. I've seen this. I've seen this when I do marriage counseling. I'll be there and we're talking to a couple, my wife and I. And if you've ever done marriage counseling, it's amazing. You can have a couch that's about 5 or 6 feet long and they're sitting on there and somehow they're 9 feet apart. I mean, there, you know, one's on one chair, one's almost in the other room, and they talk about each other, and it's derogatory, it's nitpicking, it's harping on everything, it's pointing out all the things they do wrong. And I'll say, why do you guys dishonor each other so much? And one or the other, or sometimes both, will say, well, I would speak honoring about them if they would act honorably. And then I say, well, maybe they would act honorably if you started honoring them. Oh, how could you? And they get up and walk out, and I say, job well done. They can go see someone who cares. I do care. I'm telling you, you don't want to come to me for pastoral counseling. Go Pastor Andy. He loves to do that. I'm just like, how quick can I get him out? No, right? Then they get offended. I'm telling you, when you honor people, they don't have to live an honoring life to honor them, because honor isn't earned. Honor is given. Respect is earned, but honor is given. You honor the person because of who they are. Honor flows from a heart of humility that says, because of who you are, even if I don't see everything in your life that I believe God wants in your life, I can still honor you for who you are, because honor builds up while dishonor tears down. My wife has, we've been married for over 30 years. She has honored me since the day we met. Even when I did things that didn't deserve honor, even when I behaved in ways that were dishonorable, even when I was the biggest donkey in the room, she honored me. And never once did I feel like, because she's honoring me, it gives me license to continue to be a donkey. What it did was it challenged me to be the person that she was speaking about, even if I was falling short of that. See, what we think is, if I honor somebody who's living dishonorably, they're gonna keep at that level. But most of the time, because honor builds up, it challenges people to step up. But when we dishonor people, because honor tears down, why'd you do that? You're just, oh my gosh, I can't believe. When are you ever gonna care? When are you ever gonna stop? When are you gonna start doing this? Why don't you come home on time? Why don't you make this food? Why don't you clean the house? Why don't you fold the laundry? Why don't you do, why don't you, how come, what? At some point, somebody says, you know what? I give up. And they throw up their hands and say, if I'm that big of a loser, I might as well just live like a loser. So we have to build each other up by honoring. And the Bible gives us a number of different areas, arenas in our lives that we're called to honor people in. And here's the first one. We're called to honor God. We're called to honor God. Now, there's a lot of ways that the Bible teaches us to honor God, because he is our creator. He's our sustainer. He is the one who has placed his thumbprint upon us and made us in his image. He is the one who gives us air to breathe. He is the father of lights. From every good and perfect gift come down from him. And we're called to honor him, not just with lip service, but with our lives, with how we live. One way where the Bible tells us to honor him is with our wealth. Honor the Lord your God with your wealth, with your increase. What does that mean? When God blesses you with a paycheck, with a bonus, with an inheritance, with some type of increase, you sell real estate, you make an investment, you make an increase. God says, honor me with your wealth. And how do we do that? By giving a portion of that back to him, saying, God, you're the source. You're the one who blessed me with this. And because you blessed me with this, I can honor you. And God says, this is how I want you to do that. I want you to take a portion of that, 10%, and I want you to give it back to me through the local church. Why the local church? Because that's the place where you're connected, you're planted, you're being challenged, you're being cared for, you're being helped. That's the place where you serve. That's the place where you are being used in your gifts and talents to make an impact in the world for my kingdom. Because together you are the body of Christ. So do that in honor of me. The reason we don't do that is because we don't want to give the money. I mean, listen, you tell your kids, when you get a dollar, give a dime. You say, oh, I can do that. When you get $10, give a dollar. I can do that. When you get $1,000, give $100. It's a little harder. When you get $10,000, give $1,000. Ooh. You get $100,000, give $10,000. I don't know about that. You get a million, give 100,000. I'm not doing that. Not happening. No church needs that much money. It's the same percentage. Are you gonna honor God with your wealth, or are you just gonna do what you want to do? So we're called to honor God with our wealth. We're also called to honor God with our bodies. See, as Christians, as followers of Christ, the Bible tells us we are holy, we're set apart, we're sanctified. To honor God with our bodies means there's some things that we are not to do. There's some places we're not to go. There's some behaviors we're not to participate in. What it means as a follower of Christ is that you have to say, I'm going to live set apart. There's some things I won't inhale, inject. I won't allow into my body. I'm not going to ingest those things. I'm going to live different. But everybody else is doing it, and it's fun, and it's not hurting anybody. I'm a consenting adult. What's the problem? I mean, it's legal. What's the issue? The issue is you're set apart for God, and you're supposed to look different than the world around you. I don't want to look different. And therein lies the problem. Will you sanctify your life because God has sanctified your soul? We're called to honor God with our bodies. We're also called to honor God with our worship. Worship is what we do on a Sunday morning, but worship isn't just what we do on a Sunday morning. Worship is singing songs that praise God, and we ought to do that. Worthy, 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 Lord. We ought to sing praise and worship to God, but it also not be constricted to Sunday morning. You should have praise songs in your heart and in your mouth and in your home and in your head all throughout the week. But praise isn't just worship. Praise is giving of your time. It's serving others. It's how you speak. It's meditating on God's word. Praising God all the time, not just with your words, but with your actions. That you say, my life, how I handle my possessions, how I handle my body, and how I treat others is honoring to God. See, the other way we honor God is by honoring other people. So we don't just honor God, we also have to do this. We have to honor our parents. You have to honor your parents. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. It's a command with a promise. The first one with a promise. It's a command that God says, do you trust me? I trust you with salvation. Do you trust me to honor your parents? I don't want to honor my parents. Why? Because they're weird. They're old. They're out of touch. They annoy me. Okay. They might do all those things. It's not an option. It's a command. Honor your father and your mother so that you can walk in my blessing. If you want to walk in God's blessing, then honor your parents. Why isn't God doing great things in my life? Are you doing what God asked? No. So listen to me, parents, if you're raising kids right now, instill in them an attitude of honor. Start young and don't let it go. Make sure they're honoring you, your spouse. One of the things my wife and I, when our kids were little, they mouthed off to my wife, I would sit them down and I'd say, you disrespected my wife. They didn't disrespect their mother. They disrespected my wife. And I made it clear. She was my wife before she was your mother. You disrespected her, and that's not okay. So listen, parents, there is nothing wrong with these two terms and making your kids use them. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. But that's old-timey. Okay. You know, sometimes the old gifts, the old treasures are worth taking out and dusting off. There is, you know, make sure they honor aunts and uncles and grandparents. And maybe you do this, and if you do, I'm telling you don't do this, but you can do what you want. I can't really stop you. But, you know, you got kids that are, I see it, 6, 7, 8 years old, and they see some 40-year-old. Hi, Sally. No, she's Mrs. Smith. Sally? Mr. and Mrs. are okay. Well, you know, they should be able to relate to them as individuals. No, they should learn to show respect and honor to their elders. Listen, I know you don't like, I didn't like that. Growing up, we had neighbors. They, oh, you could call me by my first name, and I thought it was great. And my dad's like, no, son, you're going to call them by their, you know, last name, Mr. and Mrs. All my friends were calling them such and such, and I'm like, really? But I get it now. There's something about honor. There's something about instilling that. How it is so much harder for your children as they grow to have hearts that honor their bosses, their teachers, their coaches, their leaders, their spouses. If you didn't expect them, teach them, show them how to honor you, you're robbing them of the blessing of honor. So model for them what it means to honor your spouse and then expect them to have an attitude that honors adults, especially you as their parents. Here's the next one. Honor those in authority. We're to honor those in authority. And I'm talking about governmental authority, elected officials. I don't know who you voted for. It doesn't matter if you voted for the next president or you voted against them. If you voted for the previous president or you voted against them. If you like the policies or you don't like them. If you like the governor or you don't like them. You're called to honor those in authority in your life. Period. End of sentence. There's been plenty of elected officials. I don't like their positions. I certainly don't like their tone. I don't like the way they communicate. I don't like some of the things they say. I don't like some of the legislation they passed. But I try very hard. I'm not perfect at it. But I try very hard to make sure I speak honoring of them. Because that's what we're called to do. Now, please hear me. You can honor someone and still disagree with them. You can honor someone and still oppose them, resist them. You can do that, but we're still called to honor. And think about King David. I mean, God, through the prophet Samuel, anointed David to be the next king of Israel. He's anointed. But at that moment when God anoints David, he doesn't take out the current king, Saul. So here's David, anointed to be king, waiting. And David does everything he can to continue to honor God's anointed leader. I will not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Saul was trying to kill him, throwing spears at him, chasing him around, hunting him down like a wild dog. And David refused to come against the authority in his life. And if David can do that, you and I can do that. Pray for your leaders. Speak well of them. You can oppose them, but you can do it in a way that's still honoring. And then the fourth one, you're to honor spiritual leaders. I don't want this to sound self-serving, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But the Bible tells us that our spiritual leaders, those who are leading in the church, are worthy of double honor. And I'm not just talking about me as the lead pastor. All the pastors on staff, all the ministry leaders, the elders, those that are leading different departments, those that are coming on Wednesday nights and serving the youth and the students, those that are giving of their time and their resources, when you see them, thank them, honor them. You know, we try and do that as a church, to appreciate those that are serving. But you know what? You can honor them too. Hey, I want to take you out for a meal. I just bought you this little gift. this little gift card. I just want to thank you and bless you for your service and your giving and your sacrifice. But honor others, because we honor God when we honor others, our parents, those in authority, and our spiritual leaders. We need to take the time and do that, because honor is critical. It's so important, because not only does honor build up, but when we dishonor, when we lack honor, when we talk bad about, when we belittle, when we criticize, when we tear down others, it can actually hinder and limit what God may want to do in your life. So we read in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus is there and he's in his hometown, and they're taking an offense at him. They're offended by him. He's like, what did I do? Well, you're just a carpenter. I mean, we know you. There's nothing special about you. There's nothing to be esteemed. You know, they're talking about you doing all this stuff, and now you're coming in and preaching to us. And who do you think? You're better than us? And they were offended. And Jesus says, listen, they honor me everywhere that I go. And they honor the word of God everywhere it's preached. But here in my hometown, among my people, among those that know me, they just treat me as common and ordinary. And as a result, the Bible says he could not, not would not. This isn't Jesus being spiteful. Not going to honor me? I'm not giving you nothing. This isn't Jesus just kind of, you know, rubbing it in. It says he could not do many miracles there except lay his hands on a few and bring healing. And he was shocked by their lack of faith. I can't tell you all that that means, because I don't know all that that means. So I'm not going to stand up here and pretend I know what all that means. But I know what part of it means is that Jesus could have done more if they had honored him, if they had had more faith. So the question is, what is it that Jesus could have done in your life if you had been living a life of honor? What is it that Jesus could have done in your life if you had been honoring those in authority, if you had been honoring of your parents, if you had been honoring of your spiritual leaders, if you had been honoring of God with your wealth and with your body and with your worship? What could God have done in your life? See, dishonor can limit how God moves in your life. And I would hate to find out that God says, I would have done so much more. I could have done so much more. But you restricted my movement in your life. And it's so important, because God says, I want you to live a life of honor, because who I have called you to be, who I've made you to be, the work that I've done in your heart and in your life. You've probably heard of a guy named Babe Ruth. Most of us have, right? Who's heard of Babe Ruth? Yeah, considered one of the greatest baseball players to ever live. And so you probably heard of him. And if you haven't, he's one of the greatest baseball players to ever live. But if you have heard of him, what you may not know is this, that Babe Ruth, he signed a lot of autographs. He'd signed thousands and thousands, thousands of autographs. But he only ever signed 7 baseball bats that he hit a home run with. Only ever 7. And for almost 20 years, one of those bats went missing. So I want to tell you this story, because it's an incredible story. So on April 18th, 1923, Yankee Stadium, it's the old Yankee Stadium now, but it was new then. New Yankee Stadium opened in New York, in the Bronx. In the first game, opening day, Babe Ruth in the third inning gets up to the plate and he cracks a 3-run home run. First home run ever hit in the Yankee Stadium. Now, when the game was over, he had that bat. And the Los Angeles Evening Herald reaches out to him, because Babe Ruth had a heart for children and for children's causes. And they reached out to him and they said, we want to do something out here in LA. What we want to do is whatever player in the high school, in the LA school district, in high school, hits the most home runs at the end of the season, we want to give them a bat that's autographed by you. So can we have an autographed baseball bat? So he took the bat that he hit the first home run in Yankee Stadium and he signed it. Now, he didn't know who it was going to go to, so he signed it to the boy home run king of Los Angeles, Babe Ruth, May 7th, 1923. At the end of the high school baseball season, Victor Orsatti hit the most home runs, and so he was awarded that bat, and he was just blown away. And he cherished that baseball bat. He held on to it. It was his prized possession. For 60 years, he just took joy in having a baseball bat signed by Babe Ruth. But in in the early 80s, his health began to fail. And he knew that he was probably going to die in the next few years. And as a result, they brought in a full-time caretaker, a nurse, by the name of Marcia Tejada. And Marcia cared for Victor for a number of years, took care of him, showed him honor and respect, just was a great caretaker. Victor didn't have any family members that were alive. He didn't have any kin. He didn't have any siblings. He didn't have any children, offspring. So he left the baseball bat and his personal belongings to Marcia. And then he died. So in 1984, she inherits Babe Ruth's home run baseball mat, but she doesn't know what it is. Unlike baseball, didn't really follow baseball. He never explained it to her. So she takes it. She goes home after, and she just puts it under her bed. And for 20 years, the baseball bat's there under her bed, collecting dust. Nobody knows what happened to it. It's missing. All the collectors are like, where's the missing baseball bat? Where's the missing baseball bat? In 2004, she retires from nursing. And she had a lifelong dream to open a restaurant. So she's retiring from nursing and she decides, I want to try and open this restaurant. It's something I've always wanted to do. I wonder if that bat has any value. So she digs it out from under the bed. She goes down to a memorabilia shop down in downtown LA, and she walks in and the owner sees the bat and he's shocked. He says, it's the missing bat. She says, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, I can't buy this from you. This is, I can't afford it. But let me put you in touch with Sotheby's auction house, because this bat should go up for auction. So she connects with them. They put it up for auction. And in 2004, the bat sold for just under $1.3 million. Yeah, give me a bat. Here's the thing. This is the amazing part. Not that she gets $1.3 million. She took a few hundred thousand of that, and she invested it into a restaurant. She took the rest, almost $1 million, and she donated it to a children's cause that she felt would honor the memory of Babe Ruth. And when that was found out, a newspaper came to her and said, why would you give all that money away? And here's what she said. She said, the bat was only valuable because Babe Ruth's name was on it. Since he made it valuable, the only reasonable thing I could do was something that would honor his life. Listen to me, if you're a Christian, you're not ordinary, you're extraordinary. You deserve to be honored, not because of what you've done, but because Jesus' name is on your life. He's the one who makes you valuable. It's what he's done, it's what he's accomplished. But you're not ordinary, you're extraordinary, and your life deserves to be honored. But it also means that you, the only reasonable thing you can do, the only reasonable decision you can make, the only way you can live that honors God, that honors Jesus, is to live a life that honors Jesus. You have to live a life that honors him because of what he's done for you, because his name is on your life. So let me ask you, how are you doing with honor? When you go out to eat, do you wait for your mom, for your dad, for your aunt, for your uncle, for someone else to reach and grab the check? Or do you say, I want to honor you and I want to pay? I can't afford to pay. It's not about paying. You can't afford not to honor someone. I love when I go out to eat and me and my friends are fighting over who gets to pay the bill. I love that. It's the way it ought to be. I used to know a guy I'd go out to lunch with every time. He'd open up his wallet and go, oh, I forgot my money. Every time, and I would pay. Then years later, he says to me, you want to know the trick? I said, what's the trick? What are you talking about? He shows me his wallet. There's a little hidden flap. He said, I can hide the money. I said, dude, really? He said, yeah, thanks for all those lunches. You know, how's your honor? How's your honor? Do you honor people in your life? Do you honor your parents? Not just your parents when you're living with them in their home. Do you honor your parents when they're old and they're living in the nursing home? How's your honor? Do you honor people with your words and your actions? Or do you just pay lip service? Ask yourself, how's my honor? Am I honoring others above myself? If you're a business owner, do you honor your employees by giving them generous bonuses? Or do you give them the smallest you can get away with and keep the most for yourself? How's your honor? So what I want to do here this morning is I want to practice honor, because a lot of times we don't see it. We don't see it played out. We don't see it around us. So let me just start by this. Who here serves with our children in our children's area? Raise your hand. Thank you so much. Thank you. So I honor you. I appreciate you. I just so honor you. We all honor you, because not only are you investing in the next generation of leaders, and not only are you pouring into the hearts of kids, teaching them the truth of God's word. Thank you. And we honor you because you're creating a place where parents for a short period of time don't have to focus on parenting and can receive and learn and be challenged and be encouraged. Thank you for serving. Thank you for giving. How about in our worship team or tech team or guest services? If you're in any of those areas, you came and helped at the church work day yesterday. If you serve in any area of this church, thank you, thank you, thank you. We honor you. We appreciate you. What you do matters. It matters to me and it matters to God. And nobody may see it, but I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward you in public. So thank you for your service. To the leaders of this church, I thank you. You guys are the best of the best. I'm telling you, some of you have been walking alongside of me on this leadership team for over 11 years. Some of you have been serving in that capacity long before I got here. And I thank you. What you don't know about the leaders of this church and their spouses is their countless sacrifice, because their spouses are in on this as much as they are. Their countless sacrifice, their financial investment, the times that they've taken away from their family, the tears that they've cried, the prayers that they've prayed. Thank you so much. We wouldn't be the church we are if it wasn't for the leaders of this church. And I honor you and I thank you and I appreciate you. To those that serve in our community, first responders, if you're in the military, if you're a teacher, if you're on the school board, if you've been elected to some office, whether it's local or at the state level, if you're in the in any way that you serve in this community, thank you, thank you, thank you. Those who run in as first responders when everybody else is running out, thank you so much. I live not far from a firehouse, and when that siren goes off at 3 a.m, I roll over and put the pillow on my head. But thank you for getting up and responding in the middle of the night when it's cold and there's other things that you would want to do. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. We honor that. It matters. This church, those that are here now and those that went before us, I honor you. I thank you. We're not here because we're something great. We're here because of the greatness of those who came before us. And those that come after us, I pray that they would say, we're not here because we're something great, but the greatness of those who came before us. And I am so impressed with how you sacrifice and how you serve and how you give and your hearts of generosity. And to see that you continue to give more and to trust God more with your stuff, with your possessions, with your wealth, it is so inspiring to me. You've made it easy to be the pastor here these last 11 years. You've followed me when we didn't know what the future held, and we've done things we didn't think were possible, and we've advanced God's kingdom, and the gospel of hope has been shared all around this community and will continue to, because you have had hearts that are open and you've loved and you've welcomed people in and you've continued to pray and you've stood uncompromising on the truth of God's word. And I thank you for that, and I honor this church. My wife, you'll never know how amazing she is. But she is not just my best friend. She is the best wife and the best pastor's wife you could ask for. She prays for you. She prays until she can't pray anymore. And she serves selflessly in so many ways. And she is a woman of God. The godliness, the character in her, the way she handles herself, the grace that she displays, she is incredible. And she has stood by me and stood with me and held my hand and stood alongside me through countless sleepless nights and tears that have been cried. And I thank her and I honor her as my wife. She is amazing. And Jesus, above all, we honor the name of Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Forgiver. He's our Healer. He's the one who reaches down and makes all things new. He brings back those things that are broken and makes them whole again. He reaches down and says, I know you're lost, but I'll find you and put you back on track. And so we honor Jesus, not just with our lips, not just with our words, but with our hearts. Let us never be a people who take Jesus for granted, who treat Jesus as common, who dishonor Jesus by saying one thing and doing something else. Oh, God bless you. Oh, we love Jesus. We praise God. And then you turn around and lie, steal, cheat, gossip, slander, murmur, complain, do all kind of evil and wicked things. And we say, but I love the Lord. And your heart is far from him. Let's not treat Jesus as common or ordinary. Let's lift him up. Listen, I don't know if you have the t-shirt or the bumper sticker, and I'm not making fun of you, but I'm just telling you, Jesus isn't your homeboy. Jesus isn't your homie. Jesus is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords, and he is the soon coming King who will set all things right. And as I said in Isaiah, if you just catch a glimpse of him, you'll fall down and say, woe is me, I'm undone. And so let's treat Jesus as common. Let's lift up the name of Jesus and worship the name of Jesus. Let's honor God with our wealth, with our body, with our worship. Let's honor our parents. Let's honor our leaders. Let's honor those in authority over us. Let's never take those things for granted. Let's over and over and over again choose honor over offense. Let's emphasize honor instead of accentuating dishonor, instead of highlighting those things that we don't like. Let's lift up and honor the name of Jesus. And as we do that and honor others, we can trust that God will honor us. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And God, I ask that right now by your Holy Spirit, you would touch our hearts. You would change us. You would stir some things in us. That you would make us a people of honor. In everything that we say and do, God, we would honor others. We would honor you. Now, you might be sitting here right now or watching online and you say, Pastor, I haven't honored God. I might say some words that sound honoring, but my heart is far, far from him. What you need to know is this. Even if your heart's far from him, his heart's not far from you. His heart's for you. He loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you. Jesus lived a perfect life, died a brutal death. And on that cross, he took all your sins, all my sins, the sin of everyone. And when he rose from life, he says, not only will I forgive your sins, but I can give you everlasting life. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It doesn't matter how dark your life's been. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter what kind of evil you perpetrated. It doesn't matter what kind of hurts you've done. If you come to God and say, please forgive me, he is faithful and just to forgive you. All you have to do is ask and say, God, now I'll live a life by your help and through your spirit that honors you. All you have to do is ask, and maybe here this morning, you're feeling this tug in your heart to come to God, to come to Jesus. That's not emotion, that's the Holy Spirit. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. This is your moment to call out to Jesus. And if you would this morning say, I want to give my life, I want to give my heart to Jesus. Just right where you are, just slip your hand up. Just hold it up high. Just say, I want to give him my life. I'm tired of living a life that dishonors him. Tired of honoring him with my words, but not with my actions. I want to live a life that honors him. I want to live a life of honor. Just raise your hand right now. Now, whether you raised your hand or not, I'm going to ask, would everyone repeat this prayer after me? Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I come to you and I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for all my sins. I lay down my life, my failures, my mistakes, and I receive new life in Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit so that I could live for you, that I could tell others about you, and that I could be a person of honor now until the day I die. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to God's family. When we wrap up here, please come forward. We want to help you take your next steps in following Christ. But now if everyone would stand to their feet and just in an attitude of prayer, just with your eyes closed, I'm just going to ask, would you just lift your hands up? If you would say, I want to be a person of honor. I am a person of honor, but I want to be more honoring. I want to choose honor in greater measure. Or maybe you say, I've struggled with being a person of honor. Either way, if you say, I want honor to be the hallmark of my life, I want to choose honor over offense, I want to highlight honor, I want to emphasize honor with my breath, with my life, with my actions, with my words. If that's you, just raise your hand high. God, right now I pray, I declare in the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every name, in the name above every name, the name that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. I declare in the name of Jesus that we will be a people of honor. I declare honor over our marriages, honor in our homes, honor over our children. God, honor over this church, that our hallmark, what we'd be known for, is the people that honor you and honor others. God, would you bring honor into our lives this morning? God, I pray and I ask you and I believe you for it. And now together, let's worship the Lord.